I can greet each one of you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for inviting me to be here with you this evening so that we can just fellowship around the person of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no one like him. The greatest person in the universe. No one compares with the Lord Jesus. How wonderful it is to know that he would humble himself enough to dwell in such a person as I am. And I'm thankful that he's done just that wonderful thing. And so it's just good to be here with you. And just to talk to you just a little bit about our work that we are doing there in Buffalo. We are still there. We are still doing some work there. And we do praise the Lord. It's real good to know that we thought that we were not going to get meat enough to deal with our group that we deal with in particular. But then the Lord always steps in, doesn't he, just at the right time, and he does it. You see, we needed 500 pieces of meat, am I correct, Jerry? And God stepped in, and he gave us, I believe it's 300 turkeys and 200 chickens. And so we can say thank you. We will be able to use that as we deal with the people of the area that we will be giving that food out to. So I wish to thank you, and I wish to thank each one of you for what you have done and what you are doing. And by the way, I surely want to thank you for Uncle David and Aunt Ruth, how they have been so faithful in working with us, with the boys and girls. We have seen some respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for that. But I would just ask if you all to pray much for the work there at Cold Spring Bible Chapel. It needs your prayers in a wonder, in a strong, strong way, because we are not like we used to be. We have come down, 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 down. And so therefore, I want you to pray much for us, if you will. You see, God has commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? Well, he has sent us in our little area that we have in the city of Buffalo to do a work. We thank God for what he has done. We have a building there, and some of you were active in that. That was years and years ago. In 1963, I believe it was. And so, therefore, I've come to know some of you, and I kept that acquaintance going. And so I'm thankful for that. And so Uncle David and Aunt Ruth, and of course, they have brought others along with them. They have helped us with our summer program with the boys and girls. And so we are thankful for all of that. And so what we are seeing God work in a tremendous way, but there is a problem, and because there's a problem, I want you to pray much for us as we move out in the neighborhood, bringing forth the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, which knows how to pierce asunder the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. The word of God is powerful, but we have so many things that go on that creates somewhat of a big, big problem, y'all. And so the thing is, I want you to know that we are right in the middle of this kind of, these kind of things that go on. I'm talking about the charismatic movement. It is strong. It's very strong among whites and blacks as well, but in particular in our area. And so therefore, people are looking for the feeling instead of the wisdom, the knowledge that God gives in order for us to know where we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, people think primarily about feeling. I want to feel good. Bless the Lord! All of these things go on. And so what we need is someone who's going to commit themselves to pray for us as we reach out in the area to bring boys and girls and men and women to the place of acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Let me say this, that at this particular time we have lost a number of men. Some of you knew George Brown. He's passed and gone. Okay, he was one of our elders that was there. Lee Sheffield, I don't believe you know Lee Sheffield too well. But the point is, he has passed and gone. He was one of the elders. He's gone too. And so there are a number of them that have passed off and they have gone. And so the thing is that what we need now is some of the young people who we can grasp to catch the vision that God in the person of Jesus Christ has given to us, and we need it in a great way, you all. We need it. I am thrilled to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one like him as far as I know anything about. He is the greatest. The person that I alone am going to relate to, and I'm going to relate to him as we talk about the Word of God. I'm not going to go beyond that. I am going to talk nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't bring me feelings. Now, I know good and well that we do have feelings, please. But I don't want them to be misunderstood that we are going to go out and that's all I'm looking for is a feeling and say, my, didn't we have church? That's not the thrill of it. The thrill of it, that when people come to that place of realizing and knowing the reason why that Jesus Christ came to save them, to bring them into right position with God so that they can become a child of God and so that they can relate to him, so that they may realize that Christianity is Christ because Christ Jesus has come into our lives, to the believer's life, so that he now can work out of our lives, can be seen out of our lives. This is a problem not only for the blacks but also for the whites as well, because I do deal with people. And the thing is that what they need to arrive at and come to know is come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, and in that manner relate to him. Now, there are those who have made profession of the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And so I just want to talk just a little bit about that kind of situation, because God has given us something to do. And that thing that he's given us to do, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, he wants us to be able to walk in him the way he has so fixed it. So I want to talk, and I want to make it very simple, and I'm not going to be here long, you all. Now I do that when I'm at home. I tell them that I'm not going to be there long, and then the Spirit of God says, no, you have to talk a long time. So just remember that, please, okay? Okay, I'm not my own. I belong to him. And so the thing is, I just want to be able to talk with you about walk. And I kind of believe that we do know something about what it means to walk, right? And that is, we go from one place to another. That is, we make steps. That is, we ambulate. that is, we move, that is, we stroll. And we do all of these things. We walk. So can two walk together except they be agreed? I believe that Amos was saying that in Amos 3:3, that there has to be an agreement with that. Then we read in the scripture concerning Enoch. He walked with God and he was not. Why? Because God took him. He had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God, and so therefore he could walk with God. And that's good. And that's we are thankful for. But not only that, here's what God has done. He gave forth the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave him forth, and he came into this world for a purpose. And that purpose of coming in, he saw such a one as you and me, knowing that we had no right to God because we had sinned. We had fallen short of the glory of God, and there was no way for us to approach him. But Jesus came, and he came and he went to the cross. And while hanging there upon the cross, God then gave to him, imputed to him my sin, your sin, so that he could deal with the sin problem. And thus we find then that the Lord Jesus Christ, while hanging there upon the cross, he dealt with our sin problem. And when he dealt with our sin problem, he died. And then they buried him. And the third day he rose again triumphantly. And then he ascended into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And when he did that, then God then gave him to be head over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We have a dynamic Savior. This Savior is someone else. And when I say that is someone else, I mean that there is no one like him in the universe. He has come for that purpose. And so what he dealt with while he was here, he dealt with our sin. Now, in Romans 6:4, there's a statement that is made, and that statement that is made, it is a great statement, because it says this: therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version. So this is what? When the Lord Jesus Christ died then, he took care of that situation. He was buried. He rose again. He rose to newness of life. To newness of life, not the way he was before, but the newness of life. And in doing that very thing, we then that come to that place of recognizing and remembering this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, when we remember what Christ did for us, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you would be saved. Upon that premise then, God says that when Otis Tillman, when Henry or whoever it was, received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, there's something that happens to them. What happens then is that the Spirit of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes into our lives, and we then become new creations in Christ Jesus. I like that. A new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the way to go? Sure. Now, being a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Spirit of his Son that has infiltrated, that has taken over. And so therefore, our walk then should be like he has ordained for it to be. Listen to what it says here. This is in Galatians. Starting at verse 4, I'm going to read down through verse 7. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And I have to say amen to that, and I have to say bless the Lord on that, because this is something else. We don't recognize this, and the thing is, I am dealing with people that say that they are Christians, but they don't recognize that this is what has happened when they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, that Christ Jesus now enters into that life to take over and to control it. So now what happens then is this, that when it speaks in this manner, when it tells us that the Spirit of his Son, which is another name of the Holy Spirit of God, this is what happened. Now, we get this then in the fifth chapter, and this is the fruit of the Spirit, and more my how we can talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But here's what the fruit, what it says concerning it. This is chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, dynamic, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. All right, when we do that, then God is saying to us that we have to live out the love that he himself has implanted there, because he is indwelling us. God the Father, God our Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has taken up their abodes in our lives, who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. He is there, and now he expects out of us to live a life that is well-pleasing to him. And that life which is well-pleasing to him is love, is a life that is filled with the life of Christ. Okay? Now, let's go back to Romans, and I want to look at another verse of Scripture which is very strong there, and this is in Romans 8. And here's what it says. Now, it says something out here real clearly. And here's what it says, and I am thankful that God has said this very thing. Now, wait a minute. I may be wrong, y'all. I'm looking at the wrong verse here. But be that as it may, this is what God says concerning him, that the Spirit that he has implanted his love in our very lives. And so I am thankful for that. This is what God has done. And God has done it in such a marvelous way, so that we then are imbued with the love of God. And Joel, I'm sorry I lost it for a moment, but I got it here. Here I believe, and I'm thankful that this is what God has done. In chapter 5, in verse 8, we get this. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Christ died for us. I know that most people don't say a whole lot of amens and this kind of thing, but I think this is good for us. The love of God has infiltrated our lives. And so the Christian then is infiltrated by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And being infiltrated by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is how we then are to walk and to live. In Philippians, it tells us this very thing as well. Listen to what it says in Philippians. It is just something else. Philippians 2. Okay. The Spirit of God speaking through Paul writing here. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the point then that I'm making here is this, that God intends for us to live out the life that Jesus Christ has brought within us. And when we do that, then we move along and we do just wonderful. And so therefore, we are to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to walk in him. And as we walk in him, my, what a thrill it is. As we walk in the Lord Jesus, you expect out of me to show forth Jesus Christ. My life is supposed to show forth the Lord Jesus. And as I walk, and as I talk, and as I fellowship with the believers, the love of Christ surely should be demonstrated. And so then, that's what God wants us to do as we fellowship one with the other. And so as we walk then, we walk in newness of life. A good way to walk, isn't it? Because we have God walking with us. Newness of life, like the Lord Jesus Christ. newness of life. That's wonderful. God says, move in that way. Not only do we walk in newness of life, we walk the way God wants us to walk here. Yes, we have the Christian life, but oh my, as a believer, we have the new birth. We are born again. We are brought into right position with God. And now God expects out of us to live the way He desires for us to live. We have new heart. God has given us all of these wonderful things. He has given to us this so that we can walk with Him and that we can deal with Him, because now we have become a new creature or a new creation. Jesus Christ has taken over our lives. And I'm wondering sometime how much the Lord Jesus Christ has taken over in our own lives. I love Him because He first loved me. How much do we love the Lord Jesus? That when we can look and we can see what has happened to such a country as this, those aeroplanes flying into those buildings, knocking them down. People losing their lives. If something should happen that way right now to this building, would you be to meet the Lord? Would you go with Him, absent from the body, present with the Lord? You see, life is not certain. But oh my, when we have the Lord Jesus Christ reigning in our lives, it is something else. And I'm thankful. Again, let me ask, if there's someone here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, His call right now is this: come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He is saying to us right now, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe on His name. One day He said that to me long time ago, and that was in 1931. I believe I was 12 years old at that particular time, when I heard a man say, John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears My word and believes on Him who sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. God is saying, if you are a sinner and you know it, then He wants you to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do, He will give you life and life eternal. What a good God. He's been with us all of these years, and I'm thankful for His presence here. We've seen people, children, respond to the Lord Jesus. We've seen older ones respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen some want to go on and on for the Lord. It was last month, I believe it was, that we had an opportunity of going to Cleveland, Ohio, to speak at one of the assemblies that CB and BM Knowledge in them started a few years ago. And when I got there, I was kind of surprised to see that it had gone down the way it was too. But I was so thankful that we could bring forth a message on salvation, and that's the way we left it. And so I want to leave here with a message on salvation. That is, that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to bring you into right position with himself. And if you are in right position with him, he intends for you to carry that word of God out to the hospitals, to the jail, to the street corners, wherever, because he wants to save them. And I'm so glad about it. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? My God and my Father, I wish to thank you. I wish to thank you for just this opportunity of being here to talk to your people. Father, I know that I rambled somewhat. I know that. But Father, I know also that your word will accomplish your purpose. And so, Father, I'd ask of you then to see that your word will not return to you void. And I'm going to thank you for it. Going to ask your blessing upon each one that is here. And I'm going to thank you for each one that was here. So bless us and make us a blessing. One to the other, we do pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.